Someone once asked me, "Father, have you ever been to Hawaii?" And I said, "No, but I really would like to go to Hawaii, especially to visit the island of Molokai and the leper colony where Father Damien was." And the person just looked at me like, "Strange priest wants to visit a leper colony." But I really would, because of what Father Damien did. Recall, Father Damien, now a canonized saint, was a Belgian missionary priest who came to the Hawaiian Islands, and then in 1873 volunteered to serve the lepers on Molokai. Back then, as it was at the time of our Lord, leprosy was an awful disease. There was no cure. So as soon as a person was discovered to have this disease, that person was isolated. Also, this disease was a very slow, painful disease. It really begins unknown. It begins to attack the nervous system, the nerve endings, so that a person eventually loses senses, becomes numb, and then eventually pustules, almost like little tumors, grow, which cause awful disfigurement. Then decay sets in, so fingers, toes, hands, feet, ears, nose fall off. But also, the decay is going on inside too. So for good reason, lepers were excluded, isolated, to prevent the contagion from infecting others. So Father Damien volunteered to go to this isolated, remote part of the island of Molokai. There he found these 800 lepers about that were just in misery. He found not just the awful physical conditions, but the spiritual condition was also leprous. There was drunkenness, promiscuity, licentiousness, even black magic. So Father Damien set out to bring about a spiritual renewal and healing. Through his preaching, teaching, and hard work, he changed the complexion of that island. He began by not only restoring, but also enlarging, eventually, St. Philomena's little chapel there. And the people began to come back to the faith. He built shelters for them, a school, an orphanage, a hospital. Eventually, by the time of his death, in 1889, that island had changed from really a hellhole of despair to a place that offered love and hope in a life beyond this life. Father Damien himself contracted leprosy, and he would die of that awful disease. But in a way, it was prophetic, because even when he was in good health, he referred to the lepers as "we lepers," including himself. So it's not just a physical idea, but it's also a spiritual. Well, that helps us understand our gospel passage today and Jesus curing this leper who's been isolated from the rest of society and who has no hope of life. But our Lord heals him. Well, my brothers and sisters, when we think about who we are as Christians and members of the Catholic Church, we well know we live, in many ways, a beautiful world with many opportunities. But we also live in a leprous world, a sinful world. You and I, though, are called to bring about a change, just as Father Damien did on Molokai. We're called to be able to give glory to God, as St. Paul said to the Corinthians, in whatever we do, whatever we say. We should be individuals that live our faith so that we could say to someone, "Imitate me." Now, granted, that is a struggle for all of us, because you and I have to be on guard that we don't contract some kind of a spiritual leprosy, that we become numb to what is evil, instead of being in tune what is true, good, and beautiful in the eyes of God. For one part of this, we have to always remember, poor victims of original sin, we're weak. We need God's grace. We struggle with pride, anger, greed, envy, gluttony, lust, sloth. We struggle with those. But we have to be on guard with the contamination that could infect us. For instance, when we think of senses, what do we see and hear each day? Is it good and holy? Or is it something that could take root in our lives that could contaminate us? When we think of music, for instance, or what we see on television, well, if we listen and see that enough, could that not take root in our mind and we become numb to it? Could we not then enact it? After all, if we hear enough bad language, eventually wouldn't that bad language come out of our mouths? It would. Or if we saw bad images of some kind, eventually we become numb to the morality of those images and we take action upon them. Yesterday, a new movie came out, 50 Shades of Grey, and it's not a very wholesome movie based on a best-selling set of novels. And yet people are not only reading those books, but they're going to see the movie. And it's really something that defies what we believe concerning the dignity of the person, the sanctity of our human sexuality, the sanctity of marriage. What will that do to an individual? Father shared with me an article he found on the internet from LifeSite News. And this person, Kristen Anderson, interviewed the two main characters. So one is Jamie Dornan, who plays this Christian Grey. Actually, I think that's sort of a blasphemous use of the word Christian for this movie. Nevertheless, this actor, Jamie Dornan, was preparing for the role, and he said this. He said that after watching the things I'd be expected to do to my co-star, I returned to my wife and newborn baby feeling dirty. I had a long shower before touching either of them. Although I desperately missed my late mother, who died of cancer when I was 16, it's probably just as well she didn't have to see 50 Shades. Well, what does that say about what it could do to any one of us here? Or take the co-star Dakota Johnson, who plays the girl involved in all this. She said, I don't want my family to see the movie because it's inappropriate, or my brother's friends with whom I grew up. And there's a part of me that's like, I don't want anyone to see this movie. What's that doing to the moral sensitivity then of a person who watches this movie? Or take it to another level of senses, touch. Well, we associate with people, but we have to be on guard. Associate with the wrong people, we could become like those individuals. For instance, this fall, we heard much about the drinking, drug, and sex culture at UVA, but I'm not just going to pick on them, even though I like to, but it could be part of any college campus. What happens when a young, good person goes off to college? There's the peer pressure. There's the environment. Eventually, a numbness could set in, and before we know it, there's the action. Actually, I know a young man from years past who was a good, wholesome young man, raised in the faith, Eagle Scout, went off to college, and within one semester, he was an alcoholic. And he was brought up on charges with the police for assaulting another student, a female, thrown out of school. That's on his record. Now he's got a probation record. Thank God he's on the right path now. But that's what can happen. So my brothers and sisters, we always have to be aware of the contaminants that surround us, the moral contaminants. So look at it just in a simple way, that thoughts lead to actions, actions lead to habits, habits lead to a character. Put it into a more spiritual sense, what we're taking into our intellect is forming our conscience. And that has to be conformed to what is true, good, and holy in the eyes of God. So that then, our actions are good, the habits are good, virtuous habits, and our character is that of a Christian. But then when we start to sin, the venial sin weakens the grace. Venial sin can become habitual. It opens us to mortal sin. Mortal sin kills that grace in the soul. And if unrepented, it leads to hell. We'll take it further. If we're allowing all this contamination into our conscience, and we become numb to what is true, good, and beautiful in the eyes of God, like thinking what we're listening to that's bad, what we're seeing that's bad, the movie that's bad, is something all good, we're numb. And then what about our actions? Actions that are sinful can become habits, and we become used to them. And that builds our character so that we're no longer a Christian character, maybe a sinful pagan kind of character. And then where's our hope? Our hope's no longer in heaven. Our hope would be hell. Well, there's no hope there. So my brothers and sisters, you and I have to be on guard. And for you who are parents, to help your young people, your children, keep their conscience in tune what is true, good, and right in the eyes of God. Well, what would Father Damien say? He gives some good spiritual guidance. First, just have a healthy spiritual regimen. Father Damien wrote in his journal about himself. Be severe toward yourself, indulgent toward others. Have scrupulous exactitude regarding God. Prayer, meditation, Mass, confession, the other sacraments. Unite your heart with God. Remember always your three vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, by which you were dead to things of this world. Remember always that God is eternal, and work courageously in order one day to be united with Him forever. Highlight here the prayer, the meditation, because that keeps us in a friendship with our Lord, a love relationship, and that meditation of what is good, true, and beautiful in God's eyes is what is forming our conscience. But we also need great help, and that's the Holy Eucharist. Father Damien said, "The Blessed Sacrament is indeed the stimulus for us all. Were it not for the constant presence of our Divine Mass in our humble chapel, I would not have found it possible to persevere in sharing the lot of the afflicted of Molokai. The Eucharist is the bread that gives us strength, the most eloquent proof of His love, and the most powerful means of fostering His love in us." Stay close to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. That's why we're here. But even during the week, maybe it's a daily Mass, a holy hour, our evening holy hour on Thursday. Stay close to our Lord. And lastly, confession. That need for self-examination and repentance so that none of that contamination sets in. Now, poor Father Damien was isolated on this island. He didn't have a regular priest, so he had to wait till some priest might come by on a visiting ship. Well, one time, after months of going without confession and having struggled with temptation, even dark thoughts, just the burdens of being there, he rowed out to the ship. The bishop was on the ship. Poor Father Damien wasn't allowed on the boat because maybe of contamination. The bishop wasn't allowed off the boat for the same reason. Father Damien shouted out his confession and received absolution. But he knew how important it was for him to be healed of his sins and receive that grace. Same for us. We don't want to be a spiritual leper. We want to keep this soul clean. And so, my brothers and sisters, regular confession is essential. Well, with all of that said, I hope you take time to reflect on this, because Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We begin Lent. It's a time of renewal. And all of us here have to seize that opportunity. Plan now to look at your own spiritual life, your devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, your use of the Sacrament of Penance, and really prepare now for Lent to be a time of not only cleansing, but a time of renewal, a time when our hope is restored in the love of Jesus Christ. May God bless you.